This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it weeknights. On Joy 94.9, something for everybody.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. Matters to you. The Locker Room.
And welcome into the locker room on Joy 94.9. And yeah, that's right, it's me, Smithy, doing the intro today because I've not got my usual co-host, Mark. I've got here Adam, star of Wednesday Breakfast Rise Up. Welcome, Adam, into the locker room.
Thank you. It's nice to be on the other end this time, actually behind the microphone, not behind the panel.
Yeah, we're actually going to let you speak this time. don't make us regret it. thanks to Michael and Glenn from the Royal Daltons, and also thanks to Gary at the Joy 94.9 news desk. I think his innuendo probably is falling off a little bit, but maybe after the IKEA balls joke last week, really, that's just...
That was a hard one to beat.
That's a hard one to top, isn't it? So we're not going to hold that against Gary. Here in the locker room, it is sports with balls. And what we like to do in the locker room is bring you something more than just the usual bland, buffy statements by athletes talking about how happy they are with their swim or their footy game or whatever. We try to take you to the stories behind the stories. We like to have a bit of controversy, a bit of argument, a bit of debate, a bit of argy-bargy. But we also like to shine a light on the spotlight that our community makes to sport generally. And my God, aren't gay and lesbian and bisexual, transgender, intersex athletes in the news at the moment, Adam?
I mean,
we're all over it. Yeah, we thought that 2013 was a big year for gays in sports, but I think 2014 is going to top it.
I think 2013 was like to get the ball rolling, and now in 2014 everyone goes, okay, let's do it.
Let's get out of the closet, let's do it. So on tonight's show, we are going to talk a bit about the Winter Olympics because they're on in full swing, and all of a sudden everyone's fascinated with them, of course, whether it's border cross or I was getting into the giant slalom last night. Everyone's into all kinds of things that are happening on the sporting event, but perhaps the politics of it all has dropped off a bit and we're not seeing the protests that we thought we might about Russia's anti-gay laws. So we're going to talk a bit about the Winter Games. We're going to have another Smithy's Corner, and I'm going to ask the question about whether athletes and sport are becoming boring and opinionless and humorless.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and look, maybe we shouldn't be jumping on athletes who say something controversial. We should be encouraging it to try and make sport, professional sport especially, more interesting to people. We're going to get the latest on Michael Sam's groundbreaking coming out. We're also going to hear from Aaron, who's going to come back into the locker room to give us an A-League update because there's been a lot happening in the round ball game in the last few weeks, including the Melbourne Heart actually playing well and winning some games. So who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? And plus the usual roundup and what's on this week. I'd normally say this is time for Rolly's roundup, but in fact it's time for Adam's roundup.
Yes, hot off the press from the Rolly news desk himself. He can't be here tonight, so I'm going to deliver the roundup. First off to Sochi, and it seems Australia's Olympic bobsled team of Astrid Radinovic and former world athletics champion Jana Pittman, who are our bobsled team, admit that they need to lose weight and lose it quickly if they are to be medal contenders. The duo ended their two runs in 14th place, about 2.5 seconds behind the leaders from the USA, and they said, well, we ate for Australia, but we'll take the weight and we need to lose out of the sled.
I'd be willing to do that. I'd be willing to eat for Australia.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, apparently they've been overindulging in Olympic food and they say we managed to eat maybe a little bit too much over the past few days and didn't realise it. But I thought the heavier you were, the faster you go down a chute.
No, your weight doesn't depend on how far fast gravity pulls you. Did you sleep through physics in high school?
I didn't do physics in high school.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. It's everything is pulled by gravitational forces at the same rate. Apparently the grub in the Olympic Village is pretty good. Like, they've got a Maccas and they've got all kinds of stuff. So it's hard. Like, if you're in the village for a long time, you can sort of resist everything but temptation.
I love that. It's Winter Olympics. Here's Maccas.
Yeah, I know.
Bet the snowboarders are like, that's totally awesome, man.
Well, maybe if you're in curling, it doesn't matter so much. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Okay, next story on tonight. Two members of the punk group Pussy Riot ran out of a police station in their trademark garish balaclavas after being released following several hours of questioning in Sochi. Pussy Riot, which is a performance art collective which edits its actions into music videos and things like that, has become an international flashpoint for those who contend Mr. Putin's government, and who contend that Mr. Putin's government have exceeded its authority in dealing with an array of issues, notably human and gay rights. Police said that they were questioned in connection with a theft at the hotel where they were staying, and no charges were filed. So I guess
maybe they just stole the television.
Well, I don't steal, but you know, if you're paying for mini soaps and mini showers, shampoos,
yeah, you've got to do that. That's not theft, is it? If you take the little bottle of shampoo.
I don't know, but they came out and they said, we're constantly surrounded by people, not you journalists, but people who are shadowing us, following our every move and looking for any excuse to detain us. And the Pussy Riot gained international attention in 2012 after barging into Moscow's main cathedral and performing a punk prayer in which they entreated the Virgin Mary to save Russia from Vladimir Putin, who was on the verge of returning to the Russian presidency. That seems a bit extreme, doesn't it? Going to a church and doing a punk prayer?
I don't know.
What consists of a punk prayer?
I don't know. Maybe we should find out.
Maybe we should learn.
If anyone knows what a punk prayer is, send us a text on 0427JOY949. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Your Jamaican Me Crazy is Rolly's headline for the next article. Rolly, you are a stickler. Members of the Jamaican bobsled team have hinted that sprinter Usain Bolt could join them as they appeared at a press conference to talk about the Sochi Games. They have also filmed a false documentary with team sponsor Samsung and a movie poster that hung behind them, and it certainly caught some attention. Jamaican sprinting superstar Usain Bolt is pictured in the corner with the quote, "I'll try out for the Pyeongchang." With 46-year-old pilot Winston Watts at the end of his Olympic career, the Jamaicans are looking for younger athletes to take over, and Bolt would certainly spice up the roster and bring in the sponsorship dollars that the team has to try and raise every year.
It's funny, I thought the Jamaican bobsled team was just done for a movie with John Candy, but it seems that this is a perennial thing. Like, every Winter Olympics they turn up.
It was a true story.
Yeah, I know that. Like, I just thought it happened as a one-off, but now they're there every year. Every time the Olympics are on, it seems.
I love that they bring all these summer athletes to perform in the Winter Games.
Well, Usain Bolt probably be quite good at it.
But he'd run and you say, no, don't run down the hill. Get in the sled. Get in the sled itself.
Maybe he'd do better just running down the whole slope. I don't know.
Anyway, next on, we're going to, maybe it's the snow conditions and maybe it was just the nature of the greyhound race on the snow called Border Cross. Now, you said you're a Border Cross fan. You've been watching it?
I love this because it's sort of just like watching, you know, NASCAR racing or whatever. It's just, all you're doing is just waiting for the crash.
You are, aren't you?
You're just waiting for them all to like run into each other and fall over.
So whatever the case, we had Australia's flag bearer and best gold medal hope at the Sochi Winter Olympics was Alex Chumpy Pullen, who was part of the border cross team. He fell short of his own expectations, eliminated at the quarterfinal stage and finishing in equal 13th. The border cross blowout means Australia is likely to leave Sochi without a gold medal for the first time since the Nagano Olympics 16 years ago. Pullen said that he felt like he's done everything he could after his shock early exit, and he said, "I've stayed really positive throughout yesterday with the event. The event was postponed due to fog, but he felt good today and ready for another battle, but I guess it wasn't to be."
I think Australians should keep, you know, the absence of a gold medal at these games in a little bit of perspective. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we won our first gold medal because literally everyone else in the race fell over.
That's true.
Yeah, so
true.
You know, maybe we just got a bit too excited about winning gold medals. And there was that other guy, Dale Begg-Smith, who won a gold medal, and he was really a Canadian.
Yes.
So, you know,
we won't go down there.
We just want to keep perspective. You know, a couple of silvers and a bronze is still, I think, pretty damn impressive for a country where it doesn't really, you know, snow.
I agree. And now from winter to summer, we go to the cricket. And after Australia's huge first test win by over 200 runs against the South Africans, Michael Pup Clark has fears the second test may last just 3 days if the made-to-order pitch at St George's Park starting tomorrow. The Australian captain was bemused by his conversation with groundsman Adrian Carter after inspecting the dark brown tinged wicket. The groundskeeper admitted he was waiting to hear from the South African camp before doing what he wanted to do to the pitch, and he says it's very furry and it's green.
Well, that sounds exciting. There's probably some guys who are into that. Absolutely. I don't know. It was pretty amazing stuff, the Australians winning the first test. I mean, look, it wasn't that long ago that the Australian cricket team had lost, I think, something like 7 test matches in a row, and they've just completely turned it around. I think it's all down to Mitchell Johnson's handlebar moustache. That's my only explanation.
About the mo, is it?
And possibly Darren Lehman's coaching. But, you know, the turnaround in their team's fortunes is just extraordinary. And it's been interesting to see the commentators who've said that Australian cricket was rotten to the core all of a sudden now going very quiet because it looks like we're sort of heading back to the top of the world again.
Anything is possible. Well, the Aussies are doing well, and it's about time they did well. We did suffer a few tests and series over the past couple of years that were not worth mentioning, haven't we?
Yeah, embarrassing. But it's interesting how quickly they've come back to the top of their game, it seems. Although, you know, a bad injury to Mitchell Johnson, and maybe they're sliding back down the rankings again. So, you know, it's a fickle world, I guess. But it's interesting to see how much flack they copped and how much it was said that Australian cricket was in crisis, and perhaps no longer that's the case.
Well, it's like an economy. It has its ups and downs. One year we're on top, one year we're not. And Smithy, that is the roundup for you this week.
Thanks, Adam. And you're on the Locker Room. We'll be back in just a moment.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. Matters to you. The Locker Room.
And you are in the Locker Room on Joy 94.9. A while ago last year, we had Belle Brockhoff on the line. And for those of you who don't know, Belle is an Australian Winter Olympian. She's just competed at the Sochi Games. She's also very open about the fact that she's a lesbian. And she came on the Locker Room and talked a little bit about her preparations for the Games. But it was really in that context where we were talking also about the Russia's anti-gay laws and about whether athletes were going to protest or not. So we had a bit of a chat with Belle about what she thought going to Sochi would mean for her. And we're just going to play a bit from that now.
Joy 94.9.
Winter Olympics are less than a year away and athletes are preparing for what will be, for many of them, the biggest competition of their lives. Sochi in Russia will welcome athletes from around the world, but it seems from recent anti-gay legislation passed by the Russians that some athletes will be more welcome than others. The Olympics pride themselves on being an inclusive event, but for athletes such as openly gay Australian snowboarder Belle Brockhoff, this may not seem the case. Belle, welcome into the Locker Room.
Awesome. Thank you guys for letting me join you.
Oh, no, it's all our pleasure. Belle, for any athlete to come out is a huge decision. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I love inspiring people, and I felt like if I just came out now, I'd not only just go Olympics as myself and compete as myself, I'll be most comfortable with that. I'll be able to inspire people to not be afraid of who they are, regardless of any sort of law or hate out there about the gay community.
And Belle, what's the reaction been like?
It's been so positive. I've had tweets, emails come in about, you know, supporting me and everything. It's been great.
Elton John sent an openly gay cricketer a bunch of flowers, but I don't know if you got that lucky.
Nope.
All this stuff that's happening with Russia at the moment and other countries, does it change how you think of the Games?
Not really, but it is disappointing, for Russia to do that. It is discriminating. And in some ways you can take it personally because there's not many gay athletes going to the Olympics. But it definitely doesn't change what I think the Olympics is at all.
And in terms of what will go on at the Games or what goes on before the Games, do you think more athletes should speak out? They should take a stand about the laws that are being passed, or should sport be above politics?
I definitely think sport should be above politics, and social beliefs should be, shouldn't be included with sport. But if more athletes come out, that's more support for us, and who knows, it could change the law.
Joy 94.9.
So that was Tora Bright talking before the Games.
No, that was Belle Brockhoff.
Belle Brockhoff. Pardon me. Since then, she's revealed since after competing, and look, it didn't work out the way she'd wanted. She came eighth in the ladies' border cross at Extreme Park in Sochi. And look, there's a bit of controversy about even that she claimed that she was taken out by a Canadian competitor, not illegally, but perhaps in an unsportsmanlike way. Mm-hmm. So it didn't quite work out for her on the track. But, that's the vagaries of Olympic sport. You get sort of one crack at it, and anything little thing can go wrong, and that's sort of 4 years of preparation down the drain, really. So that's sort of neither here nor there, really, for her. We're still very proud of her here on the Locker Room.
Absolutely.
But, what she said is that she's had sort of gay hate tweets sent to her. She's had people call her an aggressive something dyke or something. Someone said, "I'm right behind Putin. You should break a leg and get locked in the slammer."
Isn't that awful?
That's the kind of stuff that she's been subjected to. So, at the same time, she says there's also been a lot of really positive messages and a lot of people coming to support as well. So, it goes to show that taking a stand is a brave thing still in this day and age. But the other thing that she said is that, look, she's got things that she wants to say, but she's going to wait until after she's been through the Games experience. So, it was interesting. We talked before the Olympics about, you know, whether we expected athletes to use the games as a forum for protest. And really, you know, the advice from lots of people, we spoke to historians and, you know, we spoke to Hudson Taylor, head of Athlete Ally, and everyone admitted that it's very difficult for an athlete to use the Olympic Games themselves as a stage for protest, because you're actually potentially violating the Olympic Charter itself. And what athletes are instead encouraged to do is, you know, sign up to Principle 6, which says, look, this is about making sure the Olympics are for everyone and everyone should be free from discrimination instead. So she hasn't actually come out and said a lot about Russia's anti-gay laws during the competition, but I think that's understandable. You know, I think she said that she wants to enjoy the Olympic experience, but after that she'll definitely be voicing her opinion. And she's a young woman, and I don't think you could begrudge her of that.
No, I agree. And, you know, there is a time and place for things like that. There is a time and a place to make a stand, to make a statement, to make comments based on, you know, a country's law. But I agree with everyone that we've spoken to, and also in what she says, in that, you know what, the games that you're there to compete, you're not there to complain. You're there to compete. You're there to play a sport. You've been training for 4 years for this sport. And you can completely destroy your reputation just by standing up and you know, shooting your mouth off and voicing your opinion. Because let's face it, the likelihood of an athlete getting arrested in Russia around this whole thing, if they were to stand up, is very minimal. But at the same time, if, you know, if a law in a country says you're not allowed to do this and you'll be put in jail, would you be stupid enough to do it?
Well, that's right. And look, this is not just about Belle Brokhof. I mean, there have been other athletes too. Openly gay Dutch speed skater Irene Wüst. She won a medal early on in the Games, and she said she made no protest and even admitted to having a cuddle with Vladimir Putin.
Oh, hello.
There was Austrian Daniela Iraskola-Stoltz, who actually married her partner Isabel Stoltz last year. That's why the hyphenated name.
Mm-hmm.
She refused to be drawn on the anti-gay law after she won a silver medal in the ski jumping last week. And what she said is, I know Russia will go and make the right steps in the future, and we should give them time. So what we haven't seen is this kind of storm of protest at Sochi where athletes have been using the stage. And when you think about the Black Power salutes in 1968 and what it did to those athletes, I mean, it effectively destroyed their careers, as we heard from Dr. Barbara Keyes when she came in here and spoke a few months ago.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, the stakes are very high for athletes if they're going to use the Olympics as a forum for protest. They're going to have to be prepared to actually put their whole careers on the line. So what we've actually seen is, of course, you know, Hollywood, we've seen entertainers, we've seen Pussy Riot, we've seen Lady Gaga tweet about, you know, Principle 6. You know, we've seen an Italian politician get arrested.
There was a transgender.
Vladimir Luxuria, a transgender television personality who was Europe's first openly transgender parliamentarian. She went to Sochi and unfurled a banner saying gay is okay, and she was arrested. So there has been the protest around the Games, but it's been a bit muted. And I think it's probably hard to get noticed at the moment. Like, I think what you're seeing is, you know, athletes taking centre stage and it being just about the sport. And again, I think that's understandable.
Absolutely. We want to find out from our listeners, what do you guys think about it? 0427JOY949 or...
or email at onair@joy.org.au. We have had one message from Greg, who has pointed out that Australia has bigger snowfields than Austria. So perhaps that doesn't excuse us for poor performances at the Winter Olympics. Maybe we should be throwing even more money at the Winter Olympics, although that itself is a source of controversy with, you know, Tora Bright coming out and saying we don't spend enough money on supporting good athletes as well.
That's true.
Lots of controversy, lots to talk about. You're on The Locker Room on Joy 94.9.
That is to you. The Locker Room.
And you are on The Locker Room, and we did say that we like to have a bit of controversy, and it seems that we ruffled some feathers with Lance on the text message. He's written in and said, sorry guys, but most of your comments have infuriated me. Every platform, including the Winter Olympics, is an opportunity to create change. The sporting arena is still very closeted. It needs people to protest. It needs a strong message to be sent to the Olympic Committee, to Russia and the world. This opportunity should be seized, not oppressed. Well, there you go. So lots of different perspectives here on The Locker Room.
Thanks for texting in, Lance.
No worries. And if you have another view about that, always you are welcome to send us a text on 0427JOY949 or drop us an email at onair@joy.org.au. Now it's time for a Smithy's editorial.
I love Smithy's editorials.
Oh, everyone loves Smithy's editorials, and I like spouting my opinions, and this is an interesting one. The Melbourne Rebels, who are... Yeah, thank you very much for that.
The Melbourne Rebels, who are
Melbourne's probably oft-ignored and unloved professional rugby union team, have been trying to create a bit of buzz and trying to create a bit of interest because they dumped their star player, James O'Connor, for being a bit unruly last year, and his good mate Lance Franklin defended him on Twitter and said, just don't understand how a club could treat an individual so badly, going to the extent to make James O'Connor look like a bad person, the Hawk turned Swan tweeted in July last year. So the Rebels got one back. They posted a Valentine's Day ad that said, "Roses are red and your tweet made us blue because everyone looks up to a superstar like you. You've left us for Sydney and your mate's gone to France. We're missing our buddy, be our Valentine, Lance." And they went
Oh, how sweet.
How sweet is that? And it went on and they continued with their sort of tongue-in-cheek media campaign, and they actually posted a further social media message saying that, you know, we're about winning more games, we're about playing for each other, we're about our members, and, you know, Lance Franklin, you know, we love you really, and, you know, we'd like to have you back on board. And sort of this sort of tongue-in-cheek kind of irreverence coming on. Well, you know, they've been criticised for this, and, you know,
seriously?
Yeah, former Wallaby Drew Mitchell has hit out. He said it's gone too far. He says that, you know, it should just, you know, just play the game and let your actions speak on the field. And, you know, that kind of stuff is unwarranted. I think this is crazy. Like, I think this is trying a bit of fun. It's just trying to be a bit lighthearted and actually try and take the mickey out of someone who's had a crack at you and you've kept quiet for a long time. And now you're just very gently making fun of Lance Franklin, who, you know, for all his supposed sort of statements of loyalty, went off and took a 9-year contract for $10 million to go play in Sydney.
Absolutely. I notice a lot of them walking around with these sticks that they really need to remove from their backside and just lighten up a bit.
We've also had, you know, Tora Bright actually give an opinion saying that she wasn't happy with the half pipe and the way that was set up. She's saying that snowboarding should be taken back from the International Skiing Federation and should actually, you know, reclaim some of its sovereignty from the Olympics.
Yes, it should be run by Quicksilver and Billabong.
Well, that's right. That's basically what she's saying. But hey, look, she's having an opinion. And again, she gets kind of slammed for that, you know, it's out of line and no one should be talking about that sort of stuff. So it really begs the question, what do we want for our athletes? Do we want them to be humorless, opinionless, sort of boring things that people that just come out and, you know, say sort of panting out of the pool, they're just really happy with their swim, or, you know, they just think the other team's really great as well, or everyone else involved in their sport is fantastic. I mean, people being controversial, people being funny and poking fun at others, I mean, that should be something that should be encouraged and celebrated.
I agree.
But luckily, oh, see, you're supposed to disagree with me.
Oh, that's sorry. I disagree, Smithy. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's not going to win.
That's not going to work. You agree with me. Maybe we should have you on more often. We're lucky because there are certain things in sport where, you know, it's great. The humour just creates itself. Scott Miller, who was an Olympic silver medalist, swimmer for Australia. And look, you know, there's a serious side to this story. He's admitted that he has been addicted to the drug ice, and that's a terrible thing, and no one would make fun of that. But he has, in an interview, admitted with the Nine Network, he just came straight out with this, that he now spends his time behind a computer creating fake internet profiles to attract business for prostitutes.
How lovely.
Yeah. But he says he's denied that makes him a pimp. He said, no, I'm not dealing with the girls. This is just me cashing in on dumb blokes. So there you go.
That's his reasoning.
Humor's not dead in sport after all, when you've got people like Scott Miller coming around saying that it's not a crime, they're just cashing in on dumb blokes. You're on The Locker Room on Joy 94.9.
Back with more in just a moment.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. Matters to you. The Locker Room.
You are in The Locker Room, and that was a very perky song by Marsha Hines. Very enjoyable.
She's back.
She's back. That was fabulous. We're going to have more of that. let's talk about Michael Sam. Michael Sam, for those of you who don't know, and you have been living on Mars for the last couple of weeks, is an NFL prospect. He's a college footballer, and college football is a big deal in the United States, and NFL is an even bigger deal, who's announced that he's gay ahead of being drafted into an NFL team. It's pretty amazing stuff. And it's created quite a storm in America about whether the NFL's ready for a gay player, and, you know, whether the clubs are ready, and whether the fans are ready, and whether the teammates are ready. And there's an interesting take on that we're about to play for you now.
Joy 94.9.
It was quite a weekend. That little dust up in Lubbock Saturday night. And then yesterday, Missouri's All-American defensive end Michael Sam, the SEC's Defensive Player of the Year and expected to be a third to fifth round pick in the NFL draft, tells the world he's gay. The best defensive player in college football's best conference, only a third to fifth round NFL pick? Really? That is shocking. And I guess that other thing is too. Michael Sam would be the first openly gay player in the NFL, says he knows there will be problems and they've already started. Several NFL officials telling Sports Illustrated it will hurt him on draft day because a gay player wouldn't be welcome in an NFL locker room. It would be uncomfortable because that's a man's world. You beat a woman and drag her down a flight of stairs, pulling her hair out by the roots, you're the fourth guy taken in the NFL draft. You kill people while driving drunk, that guy's welcome. Players caught in hotel rooms with illegal drugs and prostitutes, we know they're welcome. Players accused of rape and pay the woman to go away. You lie to police trying to cover up a murder, we're comfortable with that. You love another man, well, now you've gone too far. It wasn't that long ago when we were being told that black players couldn't play in our games because it would be uncomfortable. And even when they finally could, it took several more years before a black man played quarterback because we weren't comfortable with that either. So many of the same people who used to make that argument, and the many who still do, are the same people who say government should stay out of our lives, but then want government in our bedrooms. I've never understood how they feel comfortable laying claim to both sides of that argument. I'm not always comfortable when a man tells me he's gay. I don't understand his world, but I do understand that he's part of mine. Civil rights activist Audre Lorde said, "It is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. We've always been able to recognize them. Some of us accept them. And I want to believe that there will be a day when we do celebrate him. I don't know if that day's here yet. I guess we're about to find out. But when I listen to Michael Sam, I do think it's time to celebrate him now."
That was truly well said, Smithy.
Oh, look, it's amazing stuff. For those of you who haven't seen that on social media, and again, that must be something you haven't seen if you were living on Mars, but that was the NFL commentator Dale Hansen talking about that and really saying, look, I don't know anything about what it's like being gay, but really, what are we talking about here? Why is this such a big deal? But it is a big deal, and look, not everyone has been supportive. I mean, there's been lots of support. We've noted, you know, that the First Lady and the President himself have been supportive, and there's been lots of support on social media and from others. But we had NFL player Jonathan Vilma, who speculated recently about how he might feel if a gay teammate saw him naked. He said, "Imagine if he's the guy next to me and, you know, I get dressed naked, taking a shower." Well, who doesn't take a shower naked? The whole nine. He's a very modest fellow. "And it just so happens he looks at me. How am I supposed to respond? I mean, well, I'd say to Michael Sam, I'm so telling your boyfriend that you looked."
Yeah.
That's how I'd say.
I'd say get over yourself.
And I think, you know, what might be underlying this is maybe straight men, you know, not liking the idea of maybe being checked out in the way that they probably also, you know, look at women. So, you know, that sort of fear of being sort of feminized in the way that they are objecting to. Because it's just been this undercurrent about the whole issue with Michael Sam. And I can't help but notice it. And I know we call ourselves the locker room on this show. And it is in some ways a bit of an ironic dig at, you know, the fact that sport exists in this locker room. And that's a sort of, some people think that's a sort of a sexually charged environment. I think it's just a place to go and have a shower, to be honest. But other people think it's sort of a sexually charged environment. But it's amazing how many times we hear these references to locker rooms, as if it's this idea that gay and lesbian athletes get into sport so they can look at other people's bits in changing rooms. It's pretty crazy stuff. But that's what seems to be underlying a lot of, like, honestly, that seems to be underlying a lot of the fears about gay athletes. Yeah. And I just don't know where this comes from.
I think straight people need to take a ticket out of it and say, you know what, get over yourselves. Not every gay person is looking at a straight person thinking, oh, they're really cute or they're really hot. But you know what, if straight men can walk around and do that to you know, to women and leer at them and go, oh, I'd like to take her home and introduce her to, you know, blah, 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 and go on lewd about that. You know what, get over yourselves and wake up. Be mature.
That's right. But look, it has been courageous by Michael Sam. And look, it does remain to be seen whether it's going to harm his career or not. And there are some people saying, quietly and anonymously, of course, is that now that he's come out, they don't want to draft him into their team, that just the attention and kind of drama of having the first openly gay footballer is too much for them to handle. But there are other perspectives on it, saying it's actually a really clever thing to do, because firstly, it creates a bit of a brand and image for himself, but secondly, it sort of gets the baggage out of the way. Like, he's not living his life in the closet, so it's one less thing for someone to use against him. It's one less thing for a club reason to say not to draft him, because he's got, you know, something that could be used against his career later on once he's established himself. So, look, all power to the guy. I think it's just such incredible courage. But I couldn't help but listen to the media commentary in the last 2 weeks and think they were plugging our show, the amount of times I heard references to the locker room. Quite honestly.
Coming up next, we're going to be speaking to Aaron, who brings us all of our A-League news. You're on Joy 94.9, Inside the Locker Room with Smithy and Adam.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
And you are on the Locker Room on Joy 94.9. And if you would like to join the conversation, drop us a text on 0427 Joy 949 or an email at onair@joy.org.au. It's been a while since we touched base with the round ball game, but joining us on the line is Aaron, our resident A-League expert. Aaron, welcome into the Locker Room.
Hi, boys. How are you going?
We're very, very well.
I imagine you're very tanned from your escapades over in Brazil.
The sun was shining, but Melbourne's probably been a bit hotter the last few weeks.
Aaron, Melbourne Heart is a bandwagon that I sort of gleefully jumped on, thinking that I was going to be in for pain and, you know, the long road to redemption. But it's all turned around for them rather quickly.
It has, hasn't it? Change of coach, and as it always seems to happen, the results start coming. So Melbourne Heart last week, they're still on the bottom of the table, so don't get too excited. But last week they had a...
Oh, but they're not there for long. It's changing. It's coming around.
Yeah, it's coming around. You know, you're only 3 points off second bottom now. So that's not too bad. But 5-0 victory over Wellington last week, who were in good form. So... the Heart is certainly on the way up. It seems the Melbourne City takeover, sorry, the Manchester City takeover, has made the players think twice about playing for the shirt, and maybe they're a bit more keen to do what they have to do.
Was that a bit of a Freudian slip, Melbourne City, suggesting that they might actually be changing their name further down the line?
Yeah, well, I think that's going to happen. They've lodged the trademark application, so I think you'll see Melbourne City running around in the A-League next year.
Might be a change of colours as well. They're going to go for the sky blue.
I don't think they will, to be honest. There's already a sky blue in the league. Victory's dark blue, navy blue. So, you know, even though the Manchester City is that sky blue colour, I don't think they will change their colours.
Now, tell us about the Victory. How's Melbourne's other team going?
Victory had a bye this week. They had an Asian Champions League match Saturday night in Geelong, which they won 2-1. So Melbourne's qualified for the... Well, Victory have qualified for the Asian Champions League.
Right, what's that all about?
So it's the European Champions League, same thing, but with Asian clubs. So when you see, say, Juventus playing Manchester City, you know, the best clubs from Europe battling each other to determine who is the best club in Europe, the same thing in Asia. So you have the best clubs from the various leagues in Asia, from Japan, Korea, China, Australia, etc., battling to be the top club in Asia.
Well, that doesn't sound vaguely equivalent to the European League, but, you know, I guess we're giving it a crack here in Asia, aren't we?
Same principles.
Now, Sydney FC have had an interesting run of things, and their coach Frank Farina has been under fire. What's that all about?
Yeah, they had a period where they won... They did beat Melbourne Victory 5-0, so it's a league that sort of is a bit topsy-turvy. But then they had a patch where they lost four in a row, and there was a lot of pressure on Farina to either be sacked or step down from their own fans. And it culminated in a situation a fortnight ago where one fan went down to the dugout and tipped his beer over him.
Oh, that's a bit out of line, isn't it? What a waste of a beer.
A waste of a beer,
yeah, exactly. I mean, is the half-life of an A-League coach sort of shortening to about 12 months now? Like, if you lose four games in a row, you're out.
Yeah, it's a bit mind-boggling. But, you know, when you see results that Melbourne Heart are now getting, you tend to think, well, is it sometimes justified? But there is really a culture developing where coach turnover is pretty prominent.
Well, there you go. What else has been happening in the A-League that's of interest?
Not a lot, to be honest.
Brisbane, slow A-League
Brisbane
news week.
Still winning. Adelaide United are coming up. They're seeing the results from their Barcelona youth coach, who's taken over the reins this year. But, yeah, the A-League seems to have sort of petered out the last few weeks. You know, there's still 8 weeks to go before finals, but there's not a lot happening.
Well, there you go. A-League's gone quiet. Who are the Victory got
gone
this week?
Gone quiet. Victory have Adelaide United at home on Saturday night, and the Hearts play Brisbane Roar on Sunday at home.
Oh, well, there you go. A
couple of home games for you guys
games,
to go out
so
and
get
see.
Get out there and support your team.
Exciting stuff. Aaron, thanks very much for joining us on the Locker Room. Let's hope the A-League picks up. Let's hope the round ball game actually kind of grabs people's interest.
Hopefully this year with the World Cup coming up, people will be a bit more interested. I'm sure it's going to be a good year.
Cool. Thanks, Aaron.
See you guys.
You're inside the Locker Room on Joy at 94.9 with a very handsome Smithy and myself, Adzi.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. The Locker Room.
And you are on the Locker Room on Joy 94.9. Adam, it's time to have a look at what's coming up this week in sport. We've already heard that there's a couple of big A-League games on in Melbourne this weekend, the Melbourne Victory versus Brisbane Roar on Saturday afternoon, and or Saturday evening rather, and on Sunday afternoon we've got the Melbourne Heart playing the Brisbane Roar. But what we also have is the final of the W League. That's the Women's Professional League here in Australia. That's Melbourne Victory versus Brisbane Roar. That's on Sunday, February 23 at Lakeside Stadium in Albert Park, and kickoffs at 3:00 p.m.
That'll be exciting to watch.
Look, you know, the Women's League, the Women's is a league in Australia is a very high standard, and the national team's always performing well overseas, so it should be a great game. Get down there and check it out.
Let's hope that the players don't run over any empty cups from the Bruce Springsteen concerts that are going down there at the moment.
I know, right? That's been probably the biggest event ever happened at Amy Park, I reckon. Probably eclipses anything that's happened on the sporting field, given the sort of turnout you usually get down there.
Let's hope he doesn't go to kick a goal and, you know, a red solo cup goes flying in the other direction.
We've also got the Victorian Roller Derby League, and that they're back in action again. So February 23rd. All the colour of the Roller Derby League is coming back. The doors open at 2:15 and Bout 1 commences at 3. Bout 1 is all ruby slippers and yellow brick roads as Dead Ringer Rosies and Dolls of Hazard stomp around on the track. And then Bout 2 at 5 o'clock, the Rock Mobsters storm the Emerald City as they take on the Toxic Avengers.
That sounds like some great ideas for films.
You've got to love Roller Derby, just for sort of the colour and light of it. That's some great stuff. You can check out Roller Derby just through their Facebook page. Really encourage you to get down there. That's really great stuff. Finally, what we have on is the Neon Run. Now, the Neon Run is for those who like to go for a bit of a jog, but you know, with a bit of disco lighting and a bit of late night action and a bit of DJ. So it's down at Albert Park, and you know, everyone loves a good fun run. And you run around Albert Park Lake. You pay $50 to enter the run, and it's basically an outdoor club on the move. So you have DJs, black lights, neon body paint, and an after party to write home about. And that's on Saturday night. That's the 22nd of Feb. And after you've checked that out, you can check out White Night as well.
That's an exciting weekend ahead. Well, unfortunately, Smithy, that's it for us. We've got to hit the showers.
Time to go. Thanks to Aaron, our guest, and thank you, Adam, for agreeing to step into the shoes, the big shoes to fill for Mark Roy Rowland. But I'd be quite happy to do this every week, to be honest. I don't think we need Rowland.
I hope he's not listening after fine. That comment.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy
94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.